Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
We started talking about this yesterday, and it really gained traction throughout the rest of the day on the station. The defining moments of the quarterbacks who have played here since Peyton. From Case Keenum missing the throw to DT, Joe Flacco's scorched earth press conference after his last game.
Yes.
Paxton Lynch.
Just crying on the sideline.
Just being Paxton Lynch. Like we say, you take the layup when the layup is there. Yeah, you never go broke making a profit. And in this case, it actually fit into the conversation.
The topic.
Seamlessly. So day number 23. What is that, Benny? 63. Day number 2363.
Wow.
Stampeding our way towards 3,000.
Cruising right there, almost there.
Was this Teddy Bridgewater's defining moment? Was this his butt fumble that no matter, well, he can win people back. He's going to have to play outstanding quarterback.
Yeah.
But from the standpoint of, hey, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, he just doesn't have enough. He just doesn't have enough bank, does he,
right,
to be able to say what he said yesterday. In the minds of many, they've already made up their mind. In the minds of many, you revealed your true colors at that moment, and that no matter what you say in the aftermath isn't going to change anybody's mind.
There's a lot of people here that and I understand why. You know, where you look at Teddy Bridgewater as a backup journeyman quarterback. That's what you thought he was. That's what you think he'll always be. That's what his ceiling is. And you didn't like the decision to go with him in the first place in a 50-50 battle that you thought was close. You thought you'd go with the younger guy because now part of it is because, and I understand, you're right. Teddy Bridgewater is not the future quarterback of this football team. You and I have said that since day one. The future quarterback of this football team is not currently on the roster. So we've said that. You just wanted to go with youth for the sake of going with youth. Give Drew Lock another chance. Obviously, Drew Lock is buried somewhere. Like the way they feel about Drew Lock over there, like the best thing that could happen for Drew Lock, and I hope it happens for him, is that he moves on from here and gets an opportunity elsewhere. Or a coaching staff comes in here that actually likes him and can develop him. But there is no question that that guy, I mean, I'm not so sure if Teddy went down, if Rippon wouldn't be the choice of that coaching staff over Drew Lock.
Yeah, he is just on the outs over there. And
at least that's what it feels that way, right?
This coaching staff wants nothing to do with him. I don't know. Maybe George Payton will, at some point, if this season goes south, he'll order him to be played. Just because, hey, I got to do my evaluation here, just to cross all my T's here. But you could tell. Anytime Vic Fangio talks about Drew Lock, it is just like through gritted teeth.
Right. Hey, man, make sure you wish Teddy a happy birthday. It's his birthday today. Hey, it's Drew Lock's birthday too. Yeah, that guy too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yep. He said it that is. Too. Yes, it is. Yes, that's about it. Yes, it is.
Give him a hello or whatever.
How do you do?
Right.
But can we all be honest here? Is that whatever beef you have with Teddy Bridgewater, it's not because you truly believe he embarrassed the organization. It's not because he showed his true colors. It's not because he tapped out. It's not because you believe that his apology yesterday is insincere. You just don't think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah. That's all this is. This is just affirmation for you to legitimize how you already feel about him as a quarterback. If you liked him as a quarterback, you would have been making allowances or excuses for him the moment the play happened. If right. you liked him as a quarterback, you would have accepted 100% his mea culpa yesterday.
Right.
But just, I find it, and I know I'm supposed to be nice, but I find it kind of disingenuous from the people who are cracking on him this morning on the text line. I mean, you're saying he embarrassed the organization? Have you been following this team for the last 5 years?
Right.
There have been a lot of embarrassments. A lot of people have embarrassed this franchise in a lot of different ways. I would ask yourself, those of you who are being critical of Teddy, is it just simply because you just don't like him as a quarterback?
Right. I think the things that, as I started breaking down the film from the Philly game, I have Philly this weekend in Philly. So, you know, I went and watched it, and it's funny because I'm really supposed to be watching Philly, but I find myself, you know, really critiquing the Broncos. And there were two passes in particular that bothered me that should be touchdowns. Tim Patrick in the end zone, just that's a throw where I see other quarterbacks make it. I say elite-level quarterbacks make it that just drive the football, kind of almost the back shoulder out to the sideline, but it's on a line so it gets there quickly. So it keeps the receiver in bounds, and he lofted it a little bit to Tim Patrick, and his one big toe just hit the out-of-bounds line. And that is not about Patrick not having the right footwork. That, to me, is about a quarterback putting too much air on the ball in that particular situation. At least that's what it feels like to me, having watched a ridiculous amount of film and seen that throw made by other quarterbacks. When you put air under it, you know what it does? It allows, one, the DB to break on it, but it drifts. You drift the receiver out of bounds, and that's what happened. And then he had a little Texas route underneath to Javonte Williams where he had pressure, and he's going to have to stare and take one in the mouth to deliver that ball in time. It had been a touchdown down the red zone, been a touchdown. There's no question. They didn't have it covered, and he got it out a step and a half before he had to, before he's going to get hit. He and it went over Javonte Williams' head before Javonte hit his foot in the ground and came out of that on that Texas route, went right over his head. Should have been a touchdown. Those two throws I was really disappointed in. Like, those are throws he made earlier in the season that he didn't make on Sunday for whatever reason. And those two throws, I think, you know, when you go back in the way back machine and say, I'd like to redo those. Those are two throws I'd like to have back.
Okay. We're getting a ton of texts rolling in on this. The basic question is, after what you heard from Teddy yesterday, are you ready to forgive and forget? Or are you done? Is this the point of no return? And ultimately, why are you over Teddy Bridgewater? Is it because of what happened Sunday, or just because you don't like him as a quarterback? Get to a ton of your reaction coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Let me read some text here. Mark, feel free to jump in whenever you'd like. Mario in Loveland, not acceptable. He's a football player. You put on the helmet and go on the field, that means you're playing, period. Ken in Aurora, the whole Teddy versus Drew thing is all the team's fault. When does the team come out publicly and said it's a 50-50 competition? They created this mess and it's just another symptom of a bad organization. Some more.
Gary, I don't, you're a football player and blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. You know, I mean, yeah, you got to make a play. I get it. So, and we've beat them up about that, and that's the way it is. But it is more a, a statement on where this organization is than anything else, isn't it? Is, like you said, you think Teddy Bridgewater, that's the worst thing you've seen? We've seen plenty of bad football, plenty of lack of efforts, plenty of, we've seen a bunch of these. How many double-digit losses do you need to take at home before you go, man, we're just not competitive enough? And how many do you have to see?
This franchise is doing things we haven't seen since the 60s, and this is the worst thing you've seen?
Right.
Some more, Gary and Mead. I've been done with Bridgewater since they picked him over Locke. I knew he was not the answer. He's a journeyman-level quality quarterback. They need a franchise leader. Not easy to find, but you cannot be delusional and settle for that. This entire franchise is delusional. Until they realize this and actually make franchise-level making decisions, nothing will change. They are a bottom-dwelling franchise.
Wow. Sometimes the truth stings a little bit, doesn't it? Stings the nostrils. Quit peeking.
What? Where'd you get that from?
Peeking? Yeah, that's a word.
No, I believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, it stings the nostrils.
Stings the nostrils, yeah.
Is that part of the line? That's from Anchorman. Stings the nostrils.
Yes.
Did he say quite piquant in that? In that line?
I don't know, Mark.
I don't know.
I don't
see,
know.
Now,
I'm not going down.
Who cares?
I'm not doing this.
Can I get a little effort?
No. Okay. All right, I'll read some more here. The acceptance of Gordon's fumble and Teddy's lack of effort is an indictment on the coaches not handling those situations properly since they continue to plague this team week after week. Quick thought on that.
Yes.
There are plenty of NFL coaches who just do not tolerate fumbling.
Right.
If you fumble, you're immediately banished. Belichick is famous for that.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
he's fumbled.
So with Melvin Gordon fumbling twice in the last 3 weeks, is that the excuse or just or the right thing to do? Either way, this is where you now transition to more Javonte Williams. What'd you say about Javonte? You and I were talking during the break. What'd you say about Javonte Williams?
I don't know. What did I say?
Jeez. Do I need to remember everything you said?
Yes. That's part of your job. Have you not realized?
I should have known by now.
Part of your job. Once I got on an Anchorman quote, I was like giggling to myself, like, I love Anchorman.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're total squirrel.
Here it is. Stings the nostrils in a good way. Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. Smells like pure gasoline. They've done studies, 60% of the time it works every time. So I just added the quite piquant in
there. Ah, I see.
Yes.
No, you said Javonte Williams runs like a man.
Yo, full-grown ass man, I think I said.
Yeah.
Full-grown ass man. Oh, dude, he punishes people. And you can tell people aren't really enthused. Like the Eagles. Now, the Eagles, for me, were, and I've watched them the last couple of weeks, they're, and I don't know where they are statistically, and I can't go back to week one. They've changed some personnel and stuff, but last couple of weeks, man, there have been, I don't remember a broken tackle that allowed yards after contact. But you could tell with Javonte Williams rolling in there, they're down on his ankles. They're on his ankles.
I cracked up at being at the game on Sunday. He ran over, I think it was number 2 for Philly. I don't know his name.
Darius Slay.
Oh, was that Slay?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Slay. Okay.
You want to talk about some business decisions being made?
That dude ran over Slay, and it was funny because Slay got credited with the tackle. I said, if getting run over and being flat on your back like a cockroach is making a tackle, I guess he made the tackle, but that's how he made the tackle.
I mean, he
got run over, and he just kind of put his arms around him as he was being just run over.
Hey, listen, there is no shame in getting run over by Javonte Williams because that dude's going to run a lot of people over. He is like you need to put his effort. Yeah, like all the negative things we've talked about, put his effort. Run by run on film for your team and say, this is the way we want to do it.
A couple more here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk about honesty here. Here it's come from Richie. He's simply a quitter. Cared about his body more than the team. Made a business decision. Knows his days are numbered here. Other players on the field have come back from injury, too, that aren't quitting on their team. See you, quitter. Signed the fans. Man.
Wow. Yeah. People are mad. You're not going to change that.
One more. Zero accountability on this team. It's been a culmination of 3 years now with Fangio. I'm done. I'm out. I will not watch another game this season.
I think that's...
One more. I can only speak for myself. Yeah. Teddy lost me only after the business decision. Nothing to do with the organization, really.
No, that's where I would disagree. It does have something to do with the organization because what's the old saying, Mike? You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. When you get blown out in your 13 home losses in the last two seasons, you still have four games left at home. In your 13 home losses, do you realize seven of them have been double digits? Or you're just not competitive? That's an organizational issue.
By the way, for everyone who's embarrassed by what Teddy did, and that we've become a source of national humiliation because ESPN's Monday Night Football did a Come On Man, which, by the way, we'll get to the genesis of that in a second. You're telling me this is more embarrassing than your football team going out and playing a game last year without a quarterback because your quarterbacks chose to take tracers off and destroy them and try to circumvent the rules in to the point where you played an NFL game without a quarterback. This is more embarrassing than that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Four down territory coming your way next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
Coach called me out, and I hold myself accountable. You know, we all have a standard that we live by around here. And, you know, I'm happy Coach called me out to show, like, hey, man, you know, we need more out of you right here. So, you know, it happened.
Teddy Bridgewater apologized. Teddy Bridgewater got called out in front of the entire team. So any anger that Vic Fangio did not publicly come out and throw Teddy Bridgewater under the bus, you're confident that behind closed doors it was much different?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, when the film goes up and you're in front of all your peers and all the guys that you rely on so that you can do your job, we always talk about this with Joel a bunch, but we'll have him on tomorrow, but about how dependent every position is. So you're depending as a quarterback on everybody doing their job and laying it on the line for you. And then when push comes to shove in a critical moment of the game, you turn it down. That is just to be pointed out in front of the team in that way that's hard to deal with, man. That hurts. It's hurtful.
Put Bridgewater aside for a second. Was it important how Fangio handled this publicly versus privately? Do you think that the players were, I don't know, subconsciously watching to see if he threw Teddy under the bus publicly? Is there something to the idea that maybe Coach Fangio earned some goodwill by not coming out and throwing Bridgewater under the bus like so many people wanted him to?
Yeah, I think it's always important. This game is really hard, very physical. You have to deal with a lot of pain, both mentally and physically. And you're fair game behind closed doors in front of that team. And that's where it hurts the most. Like, honestly, from a fan base standpoint, I understand how important the fans are to the game. I really do. But those aren't the guys that you're trying to, that you're playing. Ultimately, you're playing for the guys in that locker room. And it's more the difference between, you know, getting punished and sent to your room and then just getting that, I'm so disappointed.
Oh, the worst.
Right?
I'd rather be punished. Just punish me.
Yeah, please. Let's let it go. Punish me and then let's move on.
But in front of the team, we're disappointed in you.
We're really disappointed in you. And it's hard.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
No, there wouldn't be. You know,
Both Tom and I have to do a better job of coaching the special teams, and we've got to give it to our players and coach them better so that we don't have these types of plays happen.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
All right. Vic Fangio just will not fire Tom McMahon.
No, but I do appreciate, and we've seen this over the years. I mean, it's not going to, well, over the last couple of weeks. Vic Fangio putting himself in those statements, we need to coach better. Tom and I both need to coach this better, impress upon our players better. It's important, Mike. And, you know, take credibility or take credit for the lack of, like, it's take responsibility, not credit, but responsibility for the lack of production, you as head coach, because you haven't gotten it done from your coaching staff. And I think it's important that you do that. And I'll give Vic a lot of credit. That's something he's doing right now that he has not been really willing to do in the past.
So you think it's taken 2.5 years for him to actually involve himself in the other facets of the game and actually involve himself? The much celebrated article on Sunday that, I sat back after the Cleveland loss and did a deep dive into this football team. You're telling me this is the first time in 2.5 years that he's actually paid attention to what's going on with the offense or taken an active role in what's going on with special teams?
No, I don't think it's the first time, but it's the first time that he's recognizing that he hasn't coached well enough, that it hasn't, like, most of the time it's, you know, it's the offense needs to be better, blah, 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 blah. It's, hey, man, I got to be better. I got to hold them accountable. I've got to do. And it is. The buck stops with you. I mean, he knows the inevitability of what's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Next in four down territory.
Down. You know, this bye week is actually at a perfect time. It's at a time where, you know, we're 5-5 right now. And yeah, go away. Stop thinking about this stuff for a little bit. You know, go relax. Have a mental reset. Come back, though, because this 7-game stretch is going to be a crucial 7-game stretch.
Shelby Harris. Come on, Benny. I can't hear.
I like that.
Thank you. Can't hear Shelby without adding that at the end. Okay, they're saying all the right things. Hey, this is a chance. Get away from football. Refresh. Come back. We still have our whole season in front of us. 5 division games. We control our own fate. But within those walls, Mark, does this team know who and what they really are? By this point, is the truth apparent? Is it one of those things that within the locker room, you can't really know these guys? You can't really fool these guys. Players know. Do these players know what they really are?
Absolutely. They know what they really are. And, I mean, you can get hot and start playing well, and you know, crazy things happen in this league, but ultimately, you kind of know what you are. Of course they do. It really does. I mean, it comes down to there's so many factors, Mike. One of the reasons that this league is so up and down and so unpredictable, Mike, is because people don't have identities. People game plan from week to week. People scheme from week to week. Their game plan or their identity is, hey, what is that team not good at? That's what we'll run. Guess what? You may not be good at that either. You might not have a bunch of players that are good at running a gap scheme or running whatever scheme you're trying to run. Like, that's what, you know who the most consistent team in football is? Probably, at least in the AFC, the most consistent team in football is the one team that has an identity that is unquestioned. Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
You know,
even losing Derrick Henry.
You know exactly what they are. You know exactly the way they're going to play you. And they're going to adhere to that philosophy come hell or high water.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Stanford throws a quick one out, and it is dropped. It is intercepted by Jimmy Ward. Going back the other way. Touchdown!
Yes!
San Francisco!
49er Radio. You talk about a team who came out and clearly
I guess, reestablished
yes.
what they are all about. And we know the bromance that you have with the Shanahans. Did Kyle Shanahan finally figure everything out? Did they have their aha moment last night? Watch out for the 49ers now rolling forward.
If the 49ers can stay healthy, they're going to be a problem. One, I think schedule-wise, it matches up. There's nobody on their schedule that I don't think they can beat. So I think that's part of it, Mike. And then when they play that way, there's a complementary nature to what it does and allows their defense to do. And you saw it yesterday, just physical downhill, you know, and they'll play a pretty simple back end for the most part. But that's who they are. Speaking of identity, when they play that way, they are a nightmare for football teams. At Jacksonville, home against Minnesota, at Seattle, at Cincinnati, home against Atlanta, at the Titans, home against the Texans before they finish up at the Rams. All right. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Do that with you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, a lot of passionate texts and responses about where this Broncos team is in the wake of what happened with Teddy Bridgewater the other day. We'll get to those next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Ho, 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 Denver, it's St. Nick Ferguson.
There you go. You just heard it. The jingle. The full Ferguson. Be the fourth caller right now at 303-713-1043. To win a $50 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center and be qualified for the grand prize of a $1,000 shopping spree. Thanks to our friend, St. Nick Ferguson. So caller four, Benny is poised and ready to go to answer your calls. Sandy Clough will join us coming up here in about 8 minutes. Get his thoughts on really what I think was a moral victory for the Nuggets last night. Tell you why. Also, got a little bull in our lives last night. Will we see more moving forward? More reaction to the Broncos in the wake of what happened on Sunday, where they're at this point, where they're going, all highlighted by Teddy Bridgewater. This one from Brandon in Washington. Seems funny that anyone would be surprised at the position the Broncos are in, especially regarding Teddy. Everyone knew his ceiling was 8 to 9 wins, tops. We knew that he struggled in the red zone with the Panthers last year. We knew he was not a big playmaker, but was safe with the ball. So I would ask, why would anyone be surprised the Broncos are 5-5 and on the verge of missing the playoffs yet again?
I don't think anybody's surprised about that. I think they're upset about the, you know, the lack of effort, Mike. And that's what people are upset about.
Are they really that upset, or is this just a vehicle for them to just use to be able to vent their overall
disgust with the organization?
Displeasure with Teddy, disgust with the organization, the overall state of the quarterback, what we've had to go through the last 5 years. Is this just a...
Right.
Is this just a way to unload on everything?
Probably, yes, it's just your overall frustration, but this is this just puts a face to what's been going on for 5 years,
okay.
Right? Isn't that
right.
what it really
yeah,
is?
I think that's what it is. Yes, exactly.
And so now you just look at it like, man, I'm tired of this. This is not, like, for a lot of people, this is not what you grew up with. This is not how you know, a lot of people listening right now, they grew up with those back-to-back championship teams. They grew up with Shanny going to the playoffs and, you know, going to the AFC championship with Jake Plummer. They grew up watching Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, that was in their more of adult life, but they've seen that. They know what it's supposed to look like. And this looks nothing like it's supposed to. And that's frustrating.
Boy, I hate to equate the two, but I think it's apropos. It's kind of like Jets fans.
Oh, God.
And the butt fumble.
Right. You just put us in.
Yes, I did. Yes, I went there. Yep. Sorry. I did. And why was the butt fumble the legacy? Ask any Jet fan. Hey, when I say Mark Sanchez, what do you think? They're going to say butt fumble, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the easiest way to define him as a quarterback, his time as a quarterback, although the guy actually had quite a bit of success, is one of the few quarterbacks, by the way, like only a handful of quarterbacks have been drafted high up in the first round in the last 20 plus years who actually have a winning playoff record.
Right.
B-Mac.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that play became, I guess, Exhibit A. It was the best way to define him as a player, his time as a Jet, and everything that the Jets were and are going through now. And unfortunately for Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy, you just had your butt fumble moment.
Yeah.
That's his butt fumble moment.
You know what's interesting about it, Mike? Even when Teddy actually played well his first couple of games, yeah, that Giants game, he was actually really good. It still was, yeah, but he's still Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, but the ceiling is still very, you know, very limited. Yeah. And I get all that. And all that is true. I just, like, you don't have an alternative. And maybe this is more about maybe it's not as much about Drew Locke as it is about what you didn't do. Draft Justin Fields. Is this more about you refusing as an organization to address the quarterback when the quarterback is out there because you just didn't feel like pulling the trigger on that guy? You just didn't fall in love with that guy when you studied him. You just, there was just something about him that you thought, I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately, you know, maybe it was Deshaun Watson. Maybe it was the potential of Russell Wilson. Maybe it was, you know, that you had conversations with the Green Bay Packers and you thought you were going to get Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it was all those things is the reason you didn't do it. I just think it was really more about we don't believe in him as a player. We think that he's got great upside, but we think it's going to be, you know, years of development. And you've seen it with his lack of understanding of protection and some other things. He's an exceptional athlete, don't get me wrong. And do you have the right staff to develop a quarterback? Like, do you want, if you're going to go after a quarterback, let me just ask you this. If you're the Broncos and George Payton, and you're going to go after a quarterback, don't you want to have the input of the coaching staff that you're going to hire? And if you know that this is not your long-term solution at the coach, and you know you're going to be, you're saddled with him, you can't do anything about it, you're not going to take a guy that maybe the next coaching staff that you want to coach is going to be in love with. And so you're like, I'm just going to bypass that, get great players in the draft, which certainly it looks like the players they drafted are really good. And you know, we'll worry about the quarterback position when we have a new coach.
We'll revisit that. We got question mark coming up here in just a couple of minutes. If you have a question for Mark, hit us up. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Last night, the Nuggets gave a very good effort. No Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter Jr., no Will Barton, but hung in there. It was a 5-point game with about 3.5 minutes left in the fourth before they finally succumbed in Dallas 111-101. Sandy Clough was on immediately following the game with a fan Nuggets post-game show. Sandy joins us now. Sandy, good morning. We got a bull sighting last night. How do you think he did?
I thought he did great in the first half. I would have liked to have seen a little more of him in the second half. He only played about 3 minutes in the second half. And looking back on it, no, it's not a devastating loss in the sense that it's a road game. And it comes against a good team. It's the back end of a back-to-back. The travel perhaps caught up with them a little bit. The injuries had something to do with it, even the one sustained during the game last night. When Dallas began the fourth quarter 4 points behind after trailing at 1 point earlier in the quarter by as many as 13, they went with a small lineup. And normally I think Michael Malone might have countered with Bones Highland, but Bones Highland had tweaked his ankle earlier in the game, so he didn't have that option available. The mistake Malone made, I thought, if there was a mistake made, was in playing Jokic for all 12 minutes of the third quarter and playing Gordon 11 of the 12 minutes in the third quarter. And other than those two, only Monte Morris really played well for Denver last night.
Is this kind of a blueprint? I mean, when you face the Nuggets right now, if you go small, maybe they don't have the backcourt to match you?
I thought it was, especially the way it worked out, a very good move by Jason Kidd, and that's a great point, Mark. I think that will be imitated, emulated by other coaches around the league to go small. And Kidd did it because he thought, I think, through most of the first three quarters, the Mavericks seemed kind of sluggish. The Nuggets actually scored 17 fast break points in the first half. I'm not sure they had any, and if they did, not nearly as many as 17 in the second half. So it was exactly the right pressure point to put on the Nuggets, to go with four guards and Finney Smith, who stands all of 6'7", to start the fourth quarter. And the Nuggets had to call a timeout 54 seconds into the fourth quarter. Dallas ran off 7 points in 54 seconds, and when the Nuggets called timeout, it was 85-83 Dallas. And really, it was a little bit like the Bronco game in a sense the other day, in that even when it was 20-13, you had the feeling Denver had to do everything right to win the game. And, you know, they had to give Jokic and Gordon a blow, and the 3 minutes they were out at the start of the fourth quarter cost them the game. So, yeah, other teams will go small against Denver, knowing that Denver's bench doesn't really have any size and is not all that quick. And, of course, the bench is depleted because you've got a starter out in Barton. Porter, I don't think, means quite as much, and Jeff Green did a decent job of filling in. But really the weakness on the Nugget bench now is Michael Green, who continues to struggle. Last night he had a bunch of rebounds, but otherwise didn't contribute much. And Highland, playing hurt, and P.J. Dozier were a combined minus 16 on both ends tonight. So last night, so a combined minus 32. Again, it's the kind of the same story when they lose, especially on the road. The bench gave them nothing.
Sandy Clough joined us. Sandy, sorry if I seem obsessed here with Bol Bol, but he is an intriguing prospect. He's a fascinating prospect.
He is.
He's certainly a popular prospect when it comes to the Nugget fans. But do you get a sense that Michael Malone doesn't really quite know how to possibly use him? Is there a role for Bol Bol on this team, considering the way that they're put together and considering the expectations they have this year?
Maybe there's not a role for him if everybody's healthy, but last night Najee was out with a sprained ankle, and I thought some of the minutes that Najee has been getting could have gone to Bol Bol last night. And especially, you had a good 8 minute run in the first half where he actually, during the time he was in the game, he ran Porzingis up and down the floor, blocked a shot on one end, scored in different ways, not just flinging up shots from the perimeter. I thought he was effective. And as long as somebody like that is effective in a particular game, you leave him in. If he's giving you nothing, you take him out. I just thought he deserved more than the 11 minutes he got last night. Yeah, he's an intriguing player, and I don't expect him to crash with the big boys underneath the boards. He's not really that kind of player, but he's kind of a tough matchup in a lot of ways. He can run. I know he weighs about 120 pounds, but he can get up and down the floor. He has a decent handle. And again, the Nuggets were at their best last night in the first half when they were running, scoring 58 points. They scored last night in the second half, especially after they got the 66-53 lead. They were outscored 58-35 the rest of the game. They needed the kind of energy that Dallas got in the start of the fourth quarter, and I thought Bol could have provided some of that. Now, if everybody's healthy, sure, it's very tough to find a place for him in an 8 or 9 man rotation, of course. But I thought last night, under the circumstances, what did you have to lose by playing him a little bit in the third quarter in place of either Gordon or Jokic?
Sandy, you'll be back again tomorrow night. Busy night for both you and Sean, as you'll have both the Nuggets home against Philadelphia, the Avalanche on the road at Vancouver. Nuggets and Avs both tomorrow night with the post-game shows. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Sandy Clough with our Nuggets post-game, which is available. Avalanche post-game as well. After all 82 games, weekends, weekdays, throughout the course of the season, including the playoffs. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.